Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to two different places, the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, going over to Luke chapter number 1 after that. Praise God. Amen. I have about 3 to 4 different messages rolling through my mind. I won't preach them all tonight. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Let's begin reading at verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Praise God. What a promise. What a promise. He said, if my people will, then I will. If you will, he will. And they did. And he said, and so I am going to put my eyes open there, my ears attent unto their prayer. I'm going to hear their prayers. For I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. Mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Luke chapter number 1. And beginning at verse number 26. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man, or engaged to a man, whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over his house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise God. Verse number 38. And Mary said, Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed from her. Praise God. Amen. I just want to preach this tonight for just a little while about having the favor of God. Praise the Lord. Having the favor of God. God, we need you here tonight. We need your presence, your spirit to deal with us, to move upon us, and to help us. We need your word, O Lord Jesus, to become like bread, to feed our hearts tonight. Water and wash our souls. God, minister. Minister to us, minister to our needs, minister, God, unto the body of the church here tonight. Father, we need you. We need the anointing of your spirit, the understanding of the purpose. We'll praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Favor is a wonderful thing to have. You can have favor with all kinds of different people and benefit so much from it. We can have favor with the magistrates, favor with the boss, favor with governments, favor with cities, councils, favor with even having favor with a general inspector will get you a long ways. And we desire to find and to have favor with our spouse, favor with parents, favor in all kinds of things. But I think that the most important thing is that we have and find favor with God. Amen. To have the favor of God. And in our first text tonight, we see that there is a man by the name of Solomon, a very wise man who has desired to build God a house. And his father David had wanted to build God a house, but he did not have the favor of God to build it. He did have the favor of God to collect some of the materials. And Solomon would begin finishing up the collection of materials after that he was become the king upon the throne. And there came a time when he began to build the temple. And after a lengthy period of time of building the temple, he began the process of dedicating the temple unto God. Because it was of his mindset that he did not want just a house. He did not want just a temple. He did not want just an edifice that was built for the purpose of spiritual things, but he wanted the favor of God to be upon that place. Praise God. Wanted the favor of God to be upon that place. And I want the favor of God to be upon us as well. Amen. Praise God. I want the favor of God to be upon this house. We understand that the church is more than just four walls. The church is just the physical edifice that stands here at 1200 Henry. But the church is you and I. The church is made up of the body of believers in conjunction, in totality. We make up the body of this particular church, this particular part of the body. We know that we are only part of it. There are many other churches throughout the nation that are preaching, believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ according to his word. And I would pray that most of us, if not all of us, are indeed sincere about having the favor of God upon us. Praise God. Can I just be me here tonight and just tell you that the reason that a lot of these assemblies, these places that call themselves churches, the reason that they have to do so many things, such as bring in different fog machines and different flashing lights and all of that other stuff, is because they have to imitate the presence of God, because God is not there. God is not there. Amen. And I feel that God is not in a lot of places that have been termed church. A lot of places that are religious edifices, I would have to say that God is not among a lot of those. And somebody said, well, they're churches. God has got to be there. Amen. I do not believe that. The Bible does not necessarily reflect that. Amen. Because when we look in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, we would see that God let Solomon know that there could come a time that his favor would not be upon that place. And we know that there came a time in Solomon's life where the favor of God was not upon Solomon. And he had all of the idols and all of the concubines, and he had set up groves for the goddesses and such. And he became an idolater. And he found himself wanting in a lot of places. But the Lord spoke to him and told him that if there come a time, in his life when the rain of heaven was shut off and the dew of the ground was turned off, and that the fruit and the vine was casting forth their fruit before the time of harvest and those things. He said, if there comes a time like that in your life, if you recognize this, Solomon, then if my people, which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and begin to seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them in heaven, and I will begin to work in their favor. But as of this point in time, my eyes are upon this place, and my favor is upon this house, and my eyes shall be here, and my heart shall be here, and my ears shall be attentive unto the prayers of the people perpetually, or in other words, ongoing, amen, continually, praise God. And that's what Solomon wanted, and that's what we desire. That's what we desire. And I would have to say that the favor of God comes with reserve, comes with stipulations tied to it. God is saying, if you will, then I will. Praise God. We don't get the favor of God just because we call ourselves religious. We don't get the favor of God just because that we call ourselves, amen, Christians. We don't get the favor of God just because that we show up. I just submit to you tonight that there's a lot of places that just show up. Amen. And all that they really have is just a point of interest. Amen. That's all that it is. They're there to discuss some things. They're there to give some words of encouragement. They're there to do some things. I was studying this morning and not necessarily preparing for this message here tonight, but got to looking into the office of the ministry, and that the office of the ministry is twofold, in that there is the office of the prophet and there is the office of the priest, and we would see that John the Baptist fulfilled both of those offices, in that he was born into the priesthood with his dad being the high priest, amen, and that he was a prophet called of God, amen. He was a priest after the due order of birth, but he was a prophet, amen, after the due calling of God. And they serve different purposes. For the priest, is his office is to manifest or to make known or to represent man before God. It is the office of the priest in that he would go before God and that he would tell or he would make known the needs and represent the needs of the people unto God Almighty. But the office of the prophet was that the prophet would represent the mind of God unto the people of God. Amen. Two different offices. Amen. Two different roles. One office. Two different roles. Amen. And both of them extremely necessary in this day and time. And I would tell you tonight, amen, that the situation, the condition of the church is simply because that there are men that fulfill or that feel pulpits. Amen. That call themselves preachers. And I'm not for sure if they are feel the office of the priest, and I'm almost positive they don't feel the office of the prophet. You cannot feel the office of a prophet by getting some book and preaching lesson one and lesson two and lesson three. Amen. You cannot fulfill the office of the prophet by getting online and finding a good message to bring, amen, unto the people of God. But the way that you represent the mind of God to the people is you've got to find the mind of God first. You've got to seek the mind of God and ask God, what is it that you would have me to bring forth unto your people. This is the purpose, amen, and the reason that we can say in Hebrews 4 and 12, amen, for the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's because the preacher does not see what's going on behind four walls in your home, but God does. The preacher does not hear what kind of conversations are going on at the job site, but God does. Amen. The preacher does not necessarily know what you are doing at all times, but God does. And God's got a way of speaking to the preacher. God's got a way of talking to the man of God, to the place that he can pierce asunder even the dividing of soul and spirit. God can get into your heart. God can get into your mind. God can get into your spirit and begin to help you to the place that you are the only one that knows that God is talking to you. That ought to cause your heart to rejoice. That ought to make you stand up and say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough for talking to the preacher about me. Thank you, Jesus, for caring about me enough to send a message of repentance by my way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. The Bible says that this isn't Old Testament, even though it's fulfillment of Old Testament. But in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said to submit yourself unto them, or to obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves unto them, for they watch for your soul. Amen. And they are going to give an account for it, and that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. I don't know if you know this or not. Amen. It's not anything that I'm hiding. It's not anything that I necessarily care that you would know. Amen. But I feel personally that that verse is not speaking of the great white throne judgment, that we'll stand in an eternal line forever. Amen. And tapping our toes and waiting for our time to come forth, and then all the preachers that we've had in our life are going to give an account for what us for us and what we did in that lifetime. Amen. But when you read the context of the chapter, when you read the context of the verse, you will see that the man of God is standing before the throne of God in the office of the priest, representing you unto God on and about a daily basis. Hallelujah. Every time your pastor goes, amen, to pray for you, he is representing you unto God. Amen. He needs to be able to give a good report on for you, because that is profitable for you. Amen. And so with that said, every Monday morning I bring all the tithing envelopes that we have gotten for that week. I bring them in, amen, before the throne in the place of prayer. And I begin to one by one take them. And I begin to pray for the individual that is written upon that slip. I begin to say, God, this is their tithing. God, this is their offering. God, this is what they've given unto you. God, you see that they're faithful people. God, you see, and however that it is, God, they're struggling. God, they're struggling financially. But here it is, God, I'm asking you to help. Amen, or I may be able to say or have to say, now, God, you see this envelope. And yes, they're faithful in their tithe. And yes, they're faithful in their offering. But God, their spirit is dry. God, their spirit is proud. God, their spirit isn't what it needs to be. God, they've hardened their hearts. Amen, and I want to tell you that it is at that point that God begins to reach down unto you and begins to try to work. You know why? Because you need the favor of God upon your life. You need the favor of God in your life. You need the favor of God in your home. The favor of God upon your family. The favor of God upon your marriage. The favor of God upon your children. The favor of God, amen, upon your job, upon your work. We need the favor of God in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. The favor of God. Amen, becomes a trust factor. I want the favor of God. Amen, but that is something, if we were to take a look at it, how much would it cost to have the favor of God? I just ask you, how much would it cost for you to have the favor of your spouse or the favor of your parents or the favor of somebody important unto you? How much would it cost? And the answer is that it's priceless. Amen, you cannot pay enough money to have the favor of that individual. Amen. I know that there are sellouts. Amen. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about God. I need the favor of God. And so I want to live my life in conjunction with God. Amen. I want to live my life in conjunction with the Word of God. And I want to be careful that when I grieve the Spirit, I feel it and I back up and I say, oh God, forgive me for grieving you. Help me to do better. I want the favor of God in my life. I want the favor of God upon this church, because when we have the favor of God upon us, amen, I believe that revival is going to come. But it's not because of good works, lest we should boast. But when we have the favor of God upon us, God is going to look at the backslider and he's going to say, hey, I've got a place for you. Amen. And he begins to draw you unto the place where he has put his name, where he has put his favor, and puts them in a safe place. He goes unto the sinner that's crying out and saying, hey God, if you're up there, I don't know where you are, but where do I need to go? And God, amen, reaches down to them and draws them unto his place, the place that he has put his name, and his eyes are upon it. Why? Because he can trust us to take care of these things. You see, when we have the favor of God, and that is God saying, I trust you. I trust you. Amen. When I send backsliders your way, I trust that you're going to take care of them. I trust that you're going to shelter them and harbor them. Amen. From the spirits of resentment, the spirits, amen, of condemnation and regret that are going to battle them down. I trust you that you're going to encourage them. I trust that you're going to lift them up. I trust that you're going to keep them in communication. Amen. When God has his favor upon this place, amen, oh yeah, we'll be able to do things to reach out to sinners, amen, but those that we never talk to, God is going to trust us in that he's going to say, hey, here's a sinner over here that's weeping and crying after a night of misery, but I've got a place over on Henry right now that I trust, that my favor is at, and I'm going to pull them, I'm going to draw them unto my place, amen, but the Bible teaches us that no man can come unto God except that his spirit would draw them. Answer me a question here tonight. Why would God draw them to our church if he cannot trust us? Why would God send us issues and problems and dilemmas manifested in humanity if God did not know that we would go to him and pray? Amen. That's what revival represents. Revival represents problems. Revival represents pain. Revival represents issues. Amen. Because that's who's going to come. They got problems. They got issues. Amen. They got pain. Amen. They got all kinds of dilemmas. They've got addictions. Amen. But God needs a church that has a prayer life. God needs a church that has faithfulness. God needs a church, amen, that knows how to touch the throne of God. God needs a church that'll fast without having to be called unto fasting. God needs somebody, amen, that'll teach them a home Bible study. Oh, God, it's my time. That's my time, God. I don't have time. And God said, then you don't have my favor. And if you see the heavens dry up, amen, then you're going to have to turn from what he calls your wicked ways and humble yourself.
Oh God, I got too much pride in me. I want to humble myself under the mighty hand of God and let God do a work in our lives.
Praise God. Praise God. Responsibility of favor. The responsibility of favor. Here's Mary outside minding her own business one day. I do not believe that she was carelessly going about her day. I don't believe that she was flippant. I don't believe that she was callous to things going on around her. I believe that she was very careful, for she was engaged to be married. And you understand that back in those days, time is the only thing that has changed, because the Bible didn't. But back in those days, that when they were espoused to an individual, that this is what Joseph had a problem with. Because here's Mary, this virgin young lady, and she's with child. Joseph had every right to not only put her away publicly, but to demand the law be pulled down on top of her. Because she had broken that trust, she had broken that engagement. And so she was guilty. And Joseph didn't want to make her a public spectacle. And so he was thinking of just putting her away privately. But in the book of Matthew, the Bible said that the angel came unto Joseph and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take unto you Mary to be your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She hasn't been with another man. And so began to tell her, said, this is the prophetic utterance that Isaiah spoke about, that his name would be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. His name shall be called Jesus, which simply means in Hebrew, it simply means, or Greek, it simply means Jehovah has become our salvation. Jehovah saves. And so the angel told Joseph, he said, don't be afraid of this. This is prophetic fulfillment. And so Joseph was not afraid, and he went through with this. But the angel of the Lord came unto Mary. Mary going about her business, and here was an angel in her way. And began to speak, hey, Mary. And she was shocked and a little bit afraid and kind of drew back a little bit. And the angel spoke unto her and said, Mary, you are highly favored of God. What does that mean? That means that what I am getting ready to tell you is going to change your life. And it's going to bring a stigma. But God trusts you to carry it wholly before Him. And so the angel explained. And she said, how can this be, seeing that I know no man? Well, this is going to be a God thing. This is going to be a God thing. And Mary and the angel spoke to her twice and saying, you have favor with God. God trusts you to carry this baby. And so Mary says, I accept it. Be it unto me as you have said, let it be unto me. And so we know that she is with child. And we know that she goes to her cousin Elizabeth. And she begins to explain to Elizabeth, Elizabeth is with child. And the child that is within her jumps because of what he has heard. John the Baptist jumps because of what he has heard.
And that this is the prophetic fulfillment, that a virgin shall conceive and be with child. And we know that time begins to pass. And there came a time when this young lady who was highly favored of God could not keep secret that she was with child. The favor of God, if I can say it like that, began to manifest itself within her. And she began to have a little bump in the front. And before long, that little bump in the front began to grow into a larger bump. And there was those that looked upon her and despised her and said, what kind of woman is that? Now, I'm just paraphrasing here. Amen. But what kind of woman is that? I thought that she was espoused to Joseph. Or what has her, have her and Joseph, what have they done? Amen. And so there was a lot of, I'll just say it like this. There was a lot of talk about what was going on in Mary's body. There was a lot of talk. There was a lot of outside talk. There was some chitter-chatter. Amen. There was a lot of looks that were not good looks. And they were not smiling at her in congratulations of having a child. But they were looking down upon her with disdain. That's all that they could do. Amen. They had a scowl upon her face. I can't believe that she did that. Amen. She was not popular among the public. The place that Joseph would take her, amen, away. But the favor of God is going to be like that, amen, in our day and time. You see, it's one thing to desire the favor of God. It's another thing to bear the responsibility of the favor of God. And it's a third thing, amen, to go through the disdain of the favor of God. Because not everybody's going to be happy of what's going on in you like you're happy of what's going on in you. Not everybody, amen, is going to be pleased, amen, with what's going on in your life like you're pleased with what's going on in your life. Not everybody is going to be happy because of what's going on in this church like we are happy for what's going on in this church. And they're just going to sit back and critique it. They're just going to sit back, amen, and make fun of it. They're going to sit back at it and point fingers and be judgmental when they don't know anything. They just assume that they know something. Amen. They don't have any facts. They weren't there when the angel spoke. They weren't there when Mary answered. They don't have any idea of what it is. But God said, I have chosen you for this place. I have chosen you for this time. I have chosen you for this purpose. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know how much Mary cared and how much that she didn't care. I don't know how much that she tried to hide that baby bump. Amen. Or when she got to the place that, look, I don't care what you think about me. I know what God has spoken to me. I don't care what you're going to say about me. I know what God has talked to me about. I don't care, amen, what the world is saying. I've had a conversation with God. And they can judge. And they can critique. And they can assume that I've been with a man. But I know what has happened in me, and I know that what is going on is of the Holy God of Israel. Mary, I've got a question for you here tonight. Do you really want the favor of God? Amen. Because when you have my favor, there are people that are going to look at you and point their fingers at you. There are people that are going to talk on the phone about you. Amen. There are people that are going to spread lies and gossip and dissension about you. Mary, you don't have to have the favor of God if you don't want it. But I'm telling you that God has chosen you. And Mary said, so be it unto me. I'll take it. If it means that I can have God manifest in the flesh, wrapped up in the womb of my body, I'll care for the favor of God. I'll hug the favor of God. I'll guard the favor of God. But I desire the favor of Almighty God. Mary, do you understand that you're going to look different?
You're not going to look like every other lady that's walking down the road. Amen. You're not. You're just not. You're not going to look like every other person. You're going to be different, Mary. You're going to be with child. You're going to be with child. There is a revival that is in your womb. Amen. Amen. Don't try to look like everybody else. Don't try to act like everybody else. Because that which is in you is which is of the Holy Ghost is going to cause you to look different. Amen. When you see a lady that is with child and she is heavy with child, you know that, and she's different. She looks different from everybody else. Amen. She walks different than everybody else. She doesn't carry herself like everybody else. And there will be people, if they're gentlemen and if they're kind, amen, they will help her. You've seen ladies that are with child, great with child, amen, having problems with other children, and people will step in to help her, amen, because that's just a favorable thing, amen, even in today's society, amen. And when they walk and they are great with child, and you know that there is a baby that is on the way, and a baby brings bundles of joy and laughter and cheer, and it brings goodness. Amen. There's something that a baby can do that a lot of other things cannot do. Maybe ice cream. Amen. But we're talking about babies. Amen. Babies put a smile upon your face, and babies put a bigger smile upon grandma and grandpa's faces. Amen. But Mary, I've got a question for you. Amen. Can you accept the responsibility of the favor of God? And Mary said, I can. I can. I'll take it, oh God. Amen. I'll look different. I'll shoulder the resentment. Amen. Of the favor of God, of the stigma of revival upon me. I'll look different. I'll walk different. And I'll even dress different. Praise God. Praise God. What is wrong? What is wrong with looking godly? What's wrong with looking godly? Amen. The Bible said that you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a royal priesthood. You're peculiar people. You understand that's quite the difference right there. Royal priesthood and peculiar. There's nothing wrong with being peculiar when you're royal. You know, in my opinion, God is greater than any dignitary that this world currently has, will have, and has ever had. And you know, you can be seated. You know, when people go before the judge, what does their lawyer tell them to do? Clean yourself up and look presentable. You're going before the judge. And in walks a slouchy, sloppy, pants bagging, dirty looking, careless individual in before the judge, smacking gum, with his little gangster attitude. And the lawyer is going, thinking to himself, this isn't going to be good. And when the judge sees them, the judge don't even have to hear them. For the judge has already made up his mind. This individual is going right back and doing the same thing over again. Are not we ambassadors? That's what the Bible calls us. We are ambassadors for the kingdom. Just so everybody knows, this is my notes. And you know what happens when I have very little notes. We're going to be here a while. Mary, you're going to have to dress different. You know, they have down at the clothing department this section called maternity clothes. They're for a purpose. It's for ladies with child. And so they go, they're made differently. They're made to support the child. And in reality, they're made to cover the child. I know that's not the popular thing in this day and age, but that's what it's for. Mary, you're going to dress differently. You're not going to dress like everybody else. Why? Because everybody else isn't with child. Everybody else doesn't have the favor of God upon them. You're going to dress differently. You know, if we want the favor of God upon us, we're going to dress differently. And I'm not here to preach a clothesline message to you. But I'm sorry. Being ambassadors for the kingdom of God, I've got an issue. I've got an issue with people that want to call themselves preachers. Because they're not priests, they're not prophets. And they look like they dressed in clothes that got in a fight with the barbed wire fence. They're ripped, they're tore. Well, that's the style, that's the fashion. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't be fashioned like this world. Jesus don't care how we act and what we do. I find a few things a little bit different in Scripture. When the United States wants the ambassador for Russia, Israel, Ethiopia, Iraq, Iran, Greece, whatever, there is a clothing description. Why? Because they represent the United States of America. That's enunciation put with that. But this is a proud thing to be. And so that's what you see the ambassadors doing. They dress wholesome because they represent the United States of America. I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I'm saying that in a pointed way. And that's what we are. We are the ambassadors of God. If we want the favor of God, I don't believe it's pleasing unto God, us calling ourselves of God and dressing like a bunch of hoodlum gangsters and acting like a bunch of gangsters. We're not gangsters. We're children of God. And you need to be proud that you're a child of God. I hate dressing this way. I didn't tell you to wear a suit and a tie. I didn't say any of that. Brother Keith doesn't have on a suit and a tie, and I don't condemn Brother Keith for not wearing a suit and a tie.
Hey, Brother Dennis doesn't wear a suit and a tie. I don't condemn him for not wearing a suit and a tie. But I'm going to wear my best. Why? Because I'm going before the King of Kings. That's why. I'm going into His presence. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But you know, the favor of God is going to change a whole lot of things about us. And we've got to be acceptive of that. And we've got to be responsible of that. And we've got to carry that dignity with honor. Can I just say, can I, now this isn't necessarily Bible, all right? All right? This is pastoral preference, okay? Pastoral preference. All right, so just mark it down just like that. Pastoral preference. But you know what irks me? Is Pentecostals throwing so-called gang signs. We're not of this world. We're not of this world. But you see, when your heroes are the ones that do that, then you feel the need to mimic and to copycat. I hope it's funny, but I hope I've made my point. God said, don't look like them. Mary, you're not going to look like them. Not if you want my favor. Not if I'm going to robe myself in flesh and come and dwell in this womb for 9 months. Amen. That's not favor. If that's the way that you want to be, Mary, then I don't want no part of that. But I feel that you're going to be different, Mary. I've been watching you from on high. I've been watching how you conduct yourself. I've been watching, amen, how you carry yourself. And Mary, I've got to say, I think you're the one. Oh, I would that God would look down upon New Life and say, hey, I think this is the one. I think that right here in Butler County, this is the place that I want to call my own. This is the place that I want to put my name and establish my favor upon it. Well, hallelujah. When you go out in public, fix your hair. When you go out in public, dress right. Amen. If you want to run around in the house, amen, and not fix your hair and all that other stuff, that's fine. Amen. But when you go out, you are an ambassador to the kingdom of God. You are a reflection of New Life Tabernacle. You are a reflection of the church. Present yourself like the church if you want the favor of God upon you. I want the favor of God upon me. I'm not running around in a suit and a tie all day. But when I go out, I don't want somebody to look at me. Amen. When I don't look, amen, like I have cared about what I look like or even what I smell like, and say, hey, aren't you the pastor of that church? I want them to see a good representation of the church. I want them to see a good representation of the God that I serve. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was at my store some months ago, and a family came in. They were buying a mattress, and the lady was looking at me, and I didn't recognize her at all. And so we got ready to check out, and she's like, I know you. And I'm thinking to myself, no, you don't. I've only been here for like 7 or 8 months. You don't know me. And she, I was like, really? I said, where from? I said, because I haven't been here long. She said, no. She said, aren't you the pastor of that church in Augusta? And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, she does know me. I said,
Yes, ma'am, I am. I said, so where have you seen me? How do I know you? She said, I'm a teller at the bank. I was like, oh, yeah, you are. You're just not dressed like you are when you go to work. She said, no, it's Saturday. I'm casualing out. Like, yeah, I recognize you now. But how embarrassing would it have been, you know, if I'd have been there like a thug? Aren't you the pastor of that church? Who, me? What gave you that idea? Well, I mean, you look exactly like the guy that comes and drops the bag off every Monday. And then old Peter would stand up, I never knew you. But you understand what I'm saying. Huh? Are you getting my signs? You see, there is a responsibility that comes with the favor of God. And we can say, I want the favor of God. And I do. I want the favor of God. And I believe that you want the favor of God. And you must understand that the favor of God is for you. And the favor of God will be upon your family. The favor of God will be upon your marriage. The favor of God will be upon your children. The favor of God will be upon your house. How's it on my house? Let me just tell you, there's nothing that's impossible for God. Life is going to be life. I understand that. Life is going to be life. But don't tell me that God can't keep his hand upon your house. Now, my house may burn down tonight. And that doesn't mean that the favor of God is not upon my house, not upon me. That just means that's life. But God knows how to take care of his children. And I want the favor of God upon me. And so if I want the favor of God upon me, I can't be sneaking around doing dumb things. I can't be sneaking around sinning. I understand that. And I'll just say, I want the favor of God. I want the favor of God upon my family. I want the favor of God upon my marriage. I want the favor of God upon me. I want the favor of God upon my house. And in doing so, I want the favor of God upon this church. Now, we understand how that the favor of God can be removed even by one individual. Achan. Achan sinned, and in his sin, it caused his whole family to be destroyed. They stoned his entire family. But before they stoned his entire family, they went to war and they lost. God standing back saying, you can go, but you ain't going with me. But, you know, there was Joshua that hit his knees. He said, God, what is it? How can I have the favor of God a few days ago at Jericho and now I don't have the favor of God? Something's wrong. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. And that's what Joshua did. He humbled himself and he prayed. And God reestablished his favor upon that. I want the favor of God. I'm not willing to cover up sin for anybody. Because there are hundreds and thousands of people that are out there in that city. I don't care what anybody says. They can stand back and yell and critique and judge and do all that other stuff, but they don't know. There are thousands of people that are out there in this world, that are in this city, that are in this county, that need God. And I plan on reaching them. Somehow, some way, with the favor of God, I want to reach them. And I want the drug addict that is coming out of some high binge and that is looking around thinking to themselves, my God, what did I do? And the hurt and the pain of the emotions and the emotional duress that is there upon them and the regrets of life that they have. I want it that when they cry out, God, if you're real, would you just show me what to do? I want God to step up. And I want God to say, oh yeah, I've got a place just for you. I got a place that is ready for you, that can help you. Because God looks down upon us and he sees that we carry ourselves carefully. When there's fighting and bickering in among God's like, I don't want no part of that. But when there is continuity of the Spirit, and there is a church that prays, and there is a church that knows how to touch God, and there's a church that'll love, and a church that'll care, and a church that'll say, God, send them to us. We'll love them. We'll care. God's saying, I've got just that place for you. I want the favor of God upon us. Amen. Let's stand here tonight. Mary, you're highly favored of God. God wants to use you as the fulfillment of prophecy. Brother Worths, I just feel like God wants to use New Life Tabernacle for the fulfillment of prophecy. And I don't even know all the prophecies that have gone on about this church. I don't know all the prophecies that's gone on about individuals. But I feel like God wants to use this church as the fulfillment of prophecies. I feel like God wants to put his favor right here upon this place. And it doesn't mean that his favor will always be here. But yet he said, if you come to a place when the rain of heaven is shut off and the dew of the ground is turned away and everything seems to be going wrong, you're still my people. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. That's favor. He didn't say hands. Hands is power. He said, I want you to seek my face. That when I look at you and I smile, you know I've got his favor. He said, if they'll seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. And I'm going to come down and I'm going to heal their land. And I'm going to put my name upon that place. And I'm going to set my eyes upon that house. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because when God's eyes are upon the house, when God's eyes are upon you, and the enemy comes in like a flood, God says, No. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. When God's eyes are upon you, God sees what's coming. They say, okay, Pastor, what does that mean? That's where I come into play. Because God says, all right, man of God, when I tell you that the sword is coming against a house, and if you don't raise up your voice and speak, then their blood's going to be required at your hands. But if you raise your voice and you speak, and they won't listen to you, then their blood is upon their hands. So that's how the eyes of God roam to and fro. And he sees the enemy coming in like a flood. And he wakes up the man of God in the night, or he moves upon the man of God in prayer, and he says, this is what you need to preach. I say, okay, God, I got it. I'll do it. Because if I don't do it, I get the beating. But God said, I'm going to put my eyes upon this house, and I'm going to watch you. I'm going to watch over you. And I'm going to put my ear to the place, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to hear you when you cry, and I'm going to hear you when you lift your voice and pray. And the Bible said that he even understands our sigh. But when his ear is upon the place and you go, God says, I heard that, and I've got your answer on the way. And God said, I'm going to put my name upon the place, the authority. Just like you putting your name upon a check, it's good. That's what God said. I'm going to put my name upon the place, the authority, and it's going to be good. It's going to be my house. I want the favor of God. I want the favor of God. All right. So you say you want the favor of God? You're going to be a stigma. You're going to be judged from without. People are going to talk about you. They're going to critique you. And if that bothers you, you're probably not the one. Mary says, I will. All right, you want the favor of God to be upon you? Then, Mary, your life is going to be forever changed. Mary says, I will. Mary, if you want the favor of God upon you, you're going to walk different than everybody else. I will. Mary, you're going to dress different than everybody else because you're going to be with child. I will. Mary, you're going to feel pain that others have not felt. Mary says, I will. Mary, you're going to put up with problems and dilemmas and situations and things like that that other people that are just callous and all that, they don't have to do. Mary, she says, I will. Mary, one last chance to turn around and to walk away. And Mary says, be it unto me whatever God desires, be it unto me. And so she walked through the next 9 months of her life with scorners, critiquers, judgers, sneers, mockers, naysayers. Pointing fingers. And she walked with her head held high because she understood. She walked different. She dressed different. She acted different. She carried herself different. She was very careful because she was with child. And when the time of life and the time of all of it came to pass, the favor of God didn't even get her a clean room. She wasn't able to walk into the inn and say, hey, I'm getting ready to have a baby. And it's not just a baby. It is God manifest in the flesh. You expect us to believe that? We have no room. The favor of God didn't get her position. She just had to go out into a messy stable. They didn't send the servants. The innkeeper didn't say, but I tell you what, I got a stable back there in the back, and I'll have the servants come out there and sanitize it and get it all ready for you. No, in a mess. But you know what? The God that was born in a mess can take care of your mess. Born in a messy stable. A stinky stable. Cows and donkeys and sheep. And all of those other stinky things. And that's where God came into this world. But friend, when he came, it changed everything. Shepherds from afar off looked and saw a star. And they started following it to the place where the name was. Right into that stable, they walked in. I don't have time to preach that message, but shepherds walked into that place. And they looked at the Christ child just as the shepherd would look at the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament, inspecting it. This one could go for sacrifice, and they would put it over. And they would look at this one. This one doesn't pass. And they look at the next one, because a shepherd knows this one would make it. And the shepherds looked at the Christ child. And basically, in a spiritual, prophetic way, gave their approval. This one could be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is the Lamb of God. From then on, everything changed. Mary, where's Jesus? I don't know. Let's go find him. Where is he? He's in there teaching the scribes, the Pharisees. He's teaching the lawyers and all this other stuff. And they're sitting there mesmerized at his teaching. Wow. Never a man spoke like this. How old is he? He's just 12. How can that be? He said, I am the law. I'm the lawgiver. And we could talk on and on and on and on. Everywhere he went, there was multitudes that followed him because they heard and they experienced. What's your testimony? I was blind, but Jesus came, touched my eyes, and now I see. You know what? There's a blind man. Hey, let me give you a testimony. I used to be blind too, but I went by Jesus' way and he touched my eyes. Can you take me to Jesus? Yeah, let's go. I used to be lame. But Jesus touched me and raised me up. Would you take me to Jesus? Yep, pick him up, carry him. Everywhere, in the streets, amen, in the corners. Funeral possessions. And here they are at a funeral possession, and a man comes up and interrupts and says, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt it, but you've got a testimony, and I've got a sick daughter that's back there. I need something. Everywhere, on top of the mountains. They just picked him up and carried him. Because where he was the favor of God. I'm just saying that can happen right here. The naysayers will say no. They'll criticize us. They'll laugh at us. They'll scorn us. Who cares? I want the favor of God. And my question for you here tonight is, Do you want the favor of God? And so if you do, I open up these altars here tonight. Would you come talk to the Lord about it? When God begins to deal with your heart about some things, I want you to answer him. Hey, I want to know. If you have the favor of God, things are going to be different. I will.